There is a story about John the Apostle. John was quite old when he died. History tells us he was well into his 90s. And of course, at that time, to be 90 years old was quite rare. The story is that every Sunday, he would gather with the Christian community at the place where he lived. It was on an island. And they would ask him to get up and say something to the people assembled, to the congregation. And they would have to help him out of his chair and help him up to the place where he would speak. And every Sunday, he would say the same thing. He would say, "My dear children, love one another." So finally they ask him, "John, why is it that you say the same thing every week?" And he responded, "Because nothing else is important." Sometimes we may think that the scriptures are sort of like John. You know, over and over and over again in the scriptures, especially in the writings of John, we get that message, love one another. And we might wonder, why isn't there another theme? And the answer is, because that is what is important, that we love one another. And yet there's probably nothing harder for us to do than to truly love one another. We want to love one another. We want to be loved. And we even try to love. But the reality for us is often very, very difficult. What happens to us so often is that we get caught in the counterfeits of love. You know, we may do something that looks like a loving action, but then we look at our motives and we know that they are less than pure. We did something to make a good impression. Or we did something because we were hoping to get some kind of reward from it. Or we did it because we wanted a little control. Or we did it because we were wanting attention or fame or pleasure. And those actions which look so loving on the outside, in which we even sometimes fool ourselves into believing that are loving, are really often have a motivation that is very selfish. And that makes loving something very difficult for us to do, because our motives are so often divided, so often impure. I don't mean that in the sense of sexually impure, but impure in the sense that they're not totally what they seem to be. The process of loving is, I believe, a lifetime process. It's one of the most important projects we have for our lives, is that we learn to overcome the selfishness that is in us, and we learn how to become truly loving, truly giving people. And the kind of love we're talking about is the kind of love that we have seen manifested in Jesus our Savior. That self-giving love, that sacrifices for the other, truly goes to the cross for the other person. The fact that our motives are often not what they seem to be, helps to explain the importance of a very traditional practice that we have had as Catholics. That practice of a daily examination of conscience. I'm sure many of you were taught that it's good before you go to bed at night or before you go to sleep to examine your day, to look at what was truly loving and what might have been selfish in the things you did, the decisions you made during that day. That also explains the importance of our Catholic custom of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It's another time when we honestly face ourselves and acknowledge what is broken in our lives, what is selfish in our lives, what was motivated not by love, but by selfishness. I've long believed that all of the vocations that we have are really vocations that are meant to teach us how to love. Now, that may be most apparent in the marriage vocation. I don't think Leonard and Evelyn would get up and talk about it right now, but I suspect if we could get them to tell us, marriage has been a school of love. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's a process of two people learning to give of themselves more and more to each other and to think less and less of their own personal needs and desires. And if marriage doesn't do it for you, then the children will. The parenting. Again, parents have to learn to die to self in order to give to their children what their children need. Not just the material things, but the attention, the time, the affection. That can truly be, if parents and if couples do it well, that can be a school of love for them. Same is true of the religious life. I've often wondered what strength it would take to live in a community of a group of men or a group of women and to put up with all the little individual idiosyncrasies of the people around you. That has to be a school of love. As you learn to die to yourself and to be caring and considerate and attentive to the needs of the people around you. I hope priesthood will be for me a school of love. It becomes a loving school when one learns to say no to yourself and attend to the needs of your people. And it's a process, just like marriage, a process of learning to say no to oneself, to say yes to the people you are called to serve. And even the single life, if it is really lived as a vocation, can be a school of love. Because the single life calls one to become more attentive to the needs of others. And as we do that, we have to say no to ourselves. But that is the most important project of our lives, is that we become people who learn to love. St. John, in that second reading today, says God is love. In the gospel reading, Jesus says, remain in me, and I remain in you. If the divine life is in us, and if that life is love, then we must be people who love one another. And if we are not loving one another, then how can we say that God dwells within us? It is essential for us. It is not one of the suggestions of the gospel. It is a central command of the gospel that we love one another. And to love another person is always to die to myself. It is to give of myself to the other. As Jesus gave himself for us, we are called, we are commanded to give of ourselves to those around us.